My name is Ken Clark. I've lived in the Valley since 1985. I own a home, of course, over in Wasilla area. And I retired from Anchorage Telephone Utility back in 1991. I was manager of Inside Plant Engineering at that time. And since then, I've spent 6 months in Budapest, Hungary, and what have you. And I'm running basically to offer the people more choice, I hope, or a better choice. And that's why I'm here. Thank you.
Hello, and thank you for the invitation. My name is John Liner. I'm 58 years old, and I've lived, worked, and raised a family here in the Valley since 1977. I first became involved in the borough politics in the mid-1980s, and I was a member of the first core area planning. There wasn't even a core area, and I was on that committee to... And that came about when they hung the borough mayor in effigy when they were trying to get zoning in the borough parking lot. I don't know if anybody remembers that. But I have a son, Jonathan, who graduated from Palmer High School, and now he's a PhD student at the University of Notre Dame. And I have a daughter, Rosalie, that graduated from Palmer High School, and she's a college graduate student working for a master's degree at the University of Hawaii. So I have a vested interest in the public schools, but I also support charter schools, and there was a lot of charter school students at the borough meeting recently, and I also support homeschooling. I have a college degree in law enforcement. I'm a U.S. Air Force veteran and from the Vietnam era. In 2004, my home, farm, and family was threatened by flooding, and that's when I became a political activist, and it's been a long fight since then. And literally, when I bought my farm in 1979, in 5 years, it was totally surrounded by railroad tracks, and we were actually held hostage in there and couldn't get out a lot of times, and we were forced to drive through pits. And then when the pits flooded, it became really dangerous, and my son almost got killed, and I almost got killed 3 times. And that's when I found out about how things work in the borough and what it takes to get justice. And it's a long, hard fight. And that's what I think I can bring to the table. I know what it's like to be abused by politicians slandering you, and I would never do that in office, because once, if you're a citizen, that's your right, but once you become in office, you do not slander or disparage the voters. And that's, and I know how to compromise and when not to compromise. And I'd like to go back, I have time, let's see. I was also heavily involved I don't know if anybody remembers this, in the mid-1980s about Idemitsu Kosan, which is a large electric company in Japan. They got a permit to haul coal from Sutton down to past Palmer for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, over 20 years. So I understand the issues and the problems of the people.
My name is Larry DeBilbis, and I really want to thank you all for inviting me to a Democratic function. I've run for office a lot of times and have never been invited to make my positions known or to interact with a Democratic function, and I think it's a great gesture. My dad was a Democrat. You know, back in those days, that's all there was in the Valley. And so, but, yeah, right. But after I grew up and graduated from Palmer High here and went through college and everything. I went down to South America and cut my teeth on politics, mediating and intervening between indigenous tribal groups that were terribly oppressed, and guerrilla, narco-guerrilla forces and paramilitary forces and government forces, and I learned some diplomatic skills in the process and came out alive. And when I got back here in the 80s, I asked the Republican Party for a platform, and I asked the Democratic Party for a platform. And it was a no-brainer for me at that time. I had pretty much come to the conclusion that government doesn't have an answer for everything. And I looked back when this position opened up and looked around and realized that I was really well positioned to do this job well. And I've been on the assembly for two terms. I termed out. I was on the school board for two terms, and I was chair of the school board. I had been president of the Lazy Mountain Community Council for a number of years. I was president of the MEA board for a couple of years in some really contentious situations, and I know how to run meetings, and that's really the primary thing that mayor does, and I think I can serve us well. And I forgot to say that my dad was a huge fan of Katie Hurley, and I'm glad to see her here.
Good morning. My name is Brian Sullivan. I'm a relative newcomer to the Valley. I've been here about 4 years. I've been in Alaska for 10 years. I was a legislator in the state of Washington and decided to run for judge in Pierce County. And I was unsuccessful, and plan B was to come in the military. And so the Army saw fit to send me to Fort Wainwright, Alaska. So I spent 3 years up there, and my wife and family love Alaska, so I was a commander down in a military police officer. I was a commander down in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, and I was talking to the Army about where I wanted to go. And so I said I wanted to go back to Fort Richardson to get back to Alaska. We love Alaska. My three girls are in schools here. I'm a member of the bar here, and I've been on the Board of Equalization and a short time on the school board. I know how to run meetings, too. I've been a two-time company commander and an executive officer of the Arctic Military Police Battalion. So I've had to run staff meetings of up to 20 people, and I think I can fulfill that function. I think I bring maybe some youth and energy and maybe a vision of the future that may be different than some other people in the race here. I think everybody is to be commended for trying to do coming out and being a candidate, because being a candidate, it's very challenging. So I see a lot of people who've been elected to office here in the audience. But I look forward to the discussions about important issues, coal development, resource development, very contentious issues. Redistricting is something where all of the assembly districts will be redistricted after the census numbers come out. It's a critical time for the Valley, so I just want to be a voice of reasonableness and forward-looking and showing leadership and vision that may be more reflective of my age. Thank you.
My name is Kurt Jarmer. I've been in the Valley for 30 years. I come up in 1980. Been a firefighter for 15 of those years, fire rescue engineer. I was vice president of the Firefighters Association Central Metsu chapter, special O coach for a number of years, basketball and bowling. I've been with the Christmas Friendship Dinner. I'm going to plug that, that we put on every year. It's been around for 19 years. I've been doing it for 11, going on 12. I see there's a need for change in the Valley. The borough has not been giving us a fair shake. I work at the Palmer Senior Center for 4 hours every day, and I hear things through them, and I'm stepping up to the plate, and I'm not as experienced as much as these people are. I do know Robert's rules. I could brush up on it some more. I'm just a down-home country boy. I had a vegetable farm back east. My father did. He worked for Bethlehem Steel. He was a block layer. Didn't want me to be one, so I took off and done other things. I've served this community for, my whole life up here for 30 years. I just got out of a grader. I've been grading roads. I'll be grading roads as soon as I leave this meeting. So, I don't know. I just think there needs to be a change, and I think I can do it. I'm probably the only person in this room who was suspended for hanging a flag on a flagpole by the borough a while back. So I'm stepping up to the plate.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Jeff Ward. I'm currently 24 years old. I attend UAA. I'm a sociology major. In my free time, I dedicate it to Challenge Alaska. I'm an instructor for disabled children. I teach them how to snowboard or ski, whatever their passion is, one ski, bi ski, sit down ski, snowboard. So that's where a lot of my free time goes to, is back into the community. And I want to bring my skills and knowledge of sociology into politically. My goal as mayor, if elected, is to provide an economically driven society. And the way of achieving that is through collective action. And collective action is the citizens in the society. They come together and they speak what they want to the politicians. And then the politicians have to make themselves available and free and open and no biases towards the topics that are brought forth to them. I want to make clear statement that I'm totally against any kind of mining in the valley. If you look at any cities that have mining done in the lower 48, you could see drastic changes from before they were a mining community and then till after they're a mining community. Not only physically, but mentally and economically, is just totally depleted. Except for the CEOs and those people that the high honchos of those corporations. I want to make clear statement that I am for the railway going down Kinnick Goose Bay Road, and I'm for the port of Point McKenzie. The reason why I'm for the Point McKenzie port is because economically, it's not feasible to keep the Anchorage port running. Every so many years, they have to clear the port and dig trenches because of the sediments that flush down into the port. We wouldn't have to do that at the Point McKenzie port. It's deep enough so that we wouldn't have to dredge the sediments, and so that's just thousands of dollars, just saved, and then that could be put back into the community. A change that I want is transportation. Transportation for the elderly is really hard to get around. And for the youth, like I talked to a teacher just a second ago, and we were talking about transportation, and she was saying, yeah, if the student misses a school bus and their parents have already left to work, how are they getting to school? There's no community driven transportation to get these people to where they need to be.
Hello, my name is David Wilson. I'm a fairly newcomer to the Valley. I've been out in the Valley for 2.5 years now. I am originally from California, moved to Alaska in 99 for my education. I have degrees in education, psychology, and MBA in health service administration. I've traveled out through the rural communities doing practicums out throughout. I travel out to the rural communities doing incident command systems training. I do a lot of work with emergency preparedness within small rural hospitals and clinics with building up through the communities. I do have experience also running meetings and coalitions. Serve on a few coalitions with my current employer. I'm currently involved in a lot of public health initiatives. I have not attended many assembly meetings I should have been attending and to know a little bit more about my community, but I do feel that I am ready to step up to the plate and making a difference in my community any way as possible. I grew up my youth volunteering a lot with within hospitals and within the schools doing the junior achievement programs. I have not been as active as volunteer as I would like to be, and I feel that I should be a little bit more proactive within my community and be a little bit more of a productive citizen, as I feel. You know, I don't have any kids yet. I'm hoping that will change soon. but I do value community involvement, and I would like to see a lot more community involvement. I mean, the Mat-Su Borough is a very large borough. It's larger than some states in our nation. You know, reaching all the way from Chickaloon out to Talkeetna, I mean, it's very large. And so I just want to make sure that we don't forget about those other community members that also pay property taxes and, you know, make sure that services reach out to those other community members as well. And with that, I'll turn it back over to our moderator.
Okay. Okay, so this is what we're going to do. I'm going to draw out of the hat the questions. And if you could pass that back down, we're going to start with John. No, we had Ken start, so we're going to go. I don't want to give everybody first dibs here. Okay, I have a long one, John, for you. Resource development and diversification of the tax base have been stated goals of the Mat-Su Borough for many years. When a resource such as coal is being developed, what will you propose to deal with the negative impact on borough neighborhoods and borough transportation infrastructure? And what measures will you introduce to protect the health of the community? Easy question.
Well, I think that's more for an assembly person question, because as mayor I can't introduce, right? And so I could only try to influence the public to contact their assembly people and urge them. And so that's what I could do by mayor. Where I can come in is with the coal. Is sometimes these projects, they do go through no matter how much there is, how much public protest there is, and like the Sutton Coal Project, it might go through. And like I said, during the coal project in the mid '80s, they did finally get their permit, and they could have gone through with it, but there was the price of oil dropped, and so it wasn't feasible to start shipping coal. And what I could do as mayor is help the people that are being negatively impact how to mitigate their problems and how to help them out.
Okay, thank you. We really don't have to applaud. You can applaud, but you know. Oh, here's a good one for Larry. How many borough meetings have you attended? What is the total borough budget and the total amount of the school budget?
Okay. Well, I sat in that borough room for 6 years as an assembly member. I haven't been back a lot since. I'll be honest, though. It's been about 10 years since I was on the assembly, but I've been catching up. And this year's budget, the 2011 budget, is over $360,000.
Million.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And you know, 2/3 of that is the school district budget. Of course, that includes a lot of pass-through money that's state and federal. And the last part of that was about?
It was just those three. How many meetings, what's the borough budget, and what's the school district
right.
budget?
Right. Okay. Well, okay. I'll just say that I would really like to compliment our school board for coming up with a budget that sounds like it's sustainable. And if I'm mayor, because I've been on the school board and understand things on that side of the budget, I think I'll be well positioned to work with the school board. I'm aligned with the president, and I'm all for giving our kids what it takes to get them out of school with either a vocational skill or academic skills to go on to university.
Sounds great. Brian, here's your question. Another school district question. Currently, the school district must return 50% of any funds remaining at the end of a fiscal year. This borough regulation potentially encourages spending and discourages saving by the school district for rainy days. What would you do to change this rule, or why do you think it should remain?
When you're part of the school board, it's a great frustration that this is part of the budgeting process. And I think if you're a member of the assembly and part of the borough government, you may have a different perspective. I think the goal for setting up that fund, those monies, when they come back into the borough, go into a site selection fund. So, and that's for schools. So the money is set aside by the borough to do the right thing and to maybe rebuild the Iditarod Elementary School or do a new Wasilla High School. They're doing things that are positive. It may not be as positive as the things the people on the school board want to do, but it's a very contentious issue. I think personally, I would have to think about long and hard about changing it, but I would be open to that discussion.
Thank you. Okay. Kurt. As mayor, what is your vision of how to deal with the continued population growth of the borough and its impact on the community? And how will you interact with the assembly regarding your vision?
As a good listener, and then determine what the people want. So the job of the mayor is to listen to everybody out here in the audience, and then some, and then interact with the assembly, their views, and then the assembly decides, you know, where to go from there. I'm for bringing the borough back in the hands of the people, not the government. You know, I'm not a activist or anything. I want to see more active between government and the people of the valley. I don't want to see no more closed doors. I've been shut out of that room twice because of certain things and issues. And I don't want to ever see that happen to anybody in this room or anybody that lives here. And that's what I would do. I would listen.
Thank you. And for Jeff. Would you introduce a borough-wide sales tax? Why or why not? If yes, how would it be applied in cities with existing sales taxes?
No, I would not implement a borough-wide sales tax. I don't think we really need it. If we provide economically the jobs that we all want and need out here, so we're not commuting into other communities and spending our money in their community and not into our own community, and then that alone will bring enough revenue back into our own community so we wouldn't have to implement borough-wide sales tax. I see a little confused faces, so I'll go in a little more detail. So I get my paycheck. I commute every day into Anchorage. And so every day I'm spending a little bit of my paycheck into Anchorage's community, which I don't live in. So all that money that I'm spending into their community is put back into their community, which doesn't benefit all of us that live out here. But if I had a job out here, so I could then I wouldn't be commuting into Anchorage, spending money into those other communities and putting it back into my own, then the implement of a borough-wide sales tax would be incompliant.
Thank you. Okay, David, here we go. Another, school district. The school district budget is the largest for which the borough is responsible. How will you work with the Matsu Borough School Board to best serve the children of the Matsu Valley?
Sorry.
Like an ice cream cone or something.
You know, I live right by the train, so that doesn't constantly. I feel that, you know, working with the school board, going to the meetings, meeting with school board representatives, talking with parents, trying to find commonalities of what the school board's goals are along with the assembly's goals and trying to link those commonalities and, you know, just being a good listener. I mean, really, it's trying to find commonalities and linking those goals together and trying to see where we can do, you know, just not the greatest good for the cause of, you know, of just doing business, of just trying to say where can we do the most good. It's where can we benefit the most for our children. And that's where I think that we should start looking forward and looking toward of where can we start doing the most good for involving our children, where can we get them more involved in community events or trying to get the community more involved with schools. That's where I feel in that position.
Let me pass that down and we'll do Ken next. If you could, radio, because we're streaming this, if you would also say your name as you start again. I mean, I know we know who you are, but that would be helpful for us too. So this is for Ken. Some of us have praised FOMS for ordinances they supported. Others have vilified FOMS for reasons they believed were not in the best interest of other of our borough. What is your view of FOMS? Please name one good thing FOMS has supported and one to which you have objected. Friends of Matsu. I guess.
I'm Ken Clark. I followed FOMS on the internet, and I've looked at all the projects that they support, and there's many of them that I would support. However, I don't believe all of them are economically feasible, and I think they should be presented probably to the assembly as some sort of a goal. And My vision of the mayor's office would be to look at each of these proposals that they have put up and try and either support or deny those things and then try to express that vision to the assembly itself. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And John, your second question is, what is your plan as leader of the Matsu Borough to work with the school board for reductions in taxes?
Well, you'd have to go before the school board and you want reductions in taxes, so you're trying to lower the school budget, and that's the only way you could do it, and that would be to find inefficiencies, and
make sure you get right. The mic up there. I know it's hard to do. You need an extra hand. Right. There.
So it goes right into here with the 2000 and this just approved budget here. Of the 2011. And the major amendment to the proposed fiscal 2011 budget was to provide an additional $1,407,205 to the Matsu Borough School District. In total, the district's budget increased to $256,911,560. Upon approval of the technical and other amendments, the levies were set. And then you have here the reduction in mill levies, the assembly amendments, and we go into the state revenue sharing, elimination and the elimination of emergency responses. And so what I'm trying to say here is to lower the school budget, you have to find inefficiencies that or other ways to save money on those, and that will lower the school budget and lower the taxes. But you have to do that without hurting the students and not letting buildings go into disrepair. And as we all know, all the school bonds passed. So that was good. And so there you go. That's okay. My answer.
Thank you. Okay. For Larry. Our current legislators have brought home no transportation money during the last session. With 40% of our population being commuters and many of our roads considered dangerous, what is your proposal and how will you work to obtain money for our road infrastructure needs?
Well, I would have two answers to that. Every one of our delegation, except for one, encouraged me to run, and every one of them but two are endorsing me, so I have a relationship that's going to give me leverage when it comes budget time to get our share of state money. The one thing that would do the most to relieve commuter traffic would be the bridge at the port, and I have always supported that. But it's going to take more than action here in the valley. It's going to take coordination with Anchorage. When I was on the assembly, and this was just beginning to germinate, we initiated the first joint meetings with the Anchorage Assembly. I think that still goes on. But somewhere the traction was lost to the developing the links on the other side, and that's got to be picked up, and I would work diligently on that.
Thank you. Okay, for Brian. This is a short one. Look at that. Would you introduce a coal extraction tax? And I would add my parser to that. If so, why or why not? Or
Yes, this is Brian Sullivan. I think all of the issues that surround the implementation of a coal business in a community, I mean, we're all learning about that. I was speaking to at the table this morning, one of the representatives of the company, and my question was, in other jurisdictions where they're extracting coal from the ground, are there taxes like this? And I think there are. And my question would be, does it make sense? There is going to be a community cost to the people immediately around there and to the people who are around, if there's a coal dust in the wind and to the properties in the valley. There's a cost for it. And so how do you mitigate that? I don't know the answer. I don't like taxes generally. I think people have spoken. When there were sales tax measures on the ballot, people turned them down. But I think you need to be reasonable. You need to sit down with people who are involved in these discussions, and you need to say, well, what is standard practice in the lower 48? For those places that are basically shipping coal to Korea, China, wherever the market is, are they paying a coal extraction tax there? And do we get an advantage by not having it? I guess I'm open to those discussions. It makes sense to me in a world market, if we can gain an advantage by not having that, maybe to do it. But my main concern is I've got three girls who, our home is the valley. My wife and I live here. We love it. And we want to protect the quality of life here. So my goal and, I guess, direction is just trying to do this reasonably.
Thank you. What are your plans for implementing the economic development strategies approved by the Assembly?
Jeez, you would have to ask me that one.
You have a whole 3 minutes.
Well, economics. I fall back on mom-and-pop stores. You know, you got these big box stores that's moved in, and everybody thought it was a good idea. But I got to tell you, I mean, the mom-and-pop stores probably employed more people in the valley than one big box store. and we put in, and the big box stores are putting them out of business. I come from a small community, and I've seen the same thing happen back east. You know, and we have to draw a line somewhere. I mean, you bring these big corporations in from outside, from different countries, and they don't. Some of them don't even speak English. I'm not saying it's wrong. It's just that we need to draw the line somewhere and start building it all back up. I mean, we got to help ourselves first, and then everybody else. I that was a tough question. Daggone. I guess what I'm trying to say is, I see more promise in a small business. You know, focuses on small businesses than one great big business, because you'll employ more people and you'll put more people back to work. And I guess that's the best way to answer that. I really.
Sounds good. Thank you very much. It is a difficult issue. If we had the answer, we'd all be rich.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, make sure. Yeah, that was Kurt. Yeah. So, Jeff, you may have already answered this, but give you a little more chance. Do you support gravel mining below the water table? Will you introduce a gravel extraction tax, and how would it be configured should you introduce such a tax?
There would be no reason to implement a tax if we don't do the gravel extraction. So, so yeah, no gravel extraction. Let the lower 48 do it. I mean, we already produce enough oil for a third of the world. I mean, how much resources do we have to pull out from our own backyard for the world? I mean, yeah, I'm totally for prosperity among nations and just collective action within communities, but I mean we got to think of the mental health, the physical health, the economic health of and the social health of a community when we're talking about coal extraction. Not everybody works in a coal mine. So who's it really benefiting in the society besides one fraction of our community? Not everybody is going to benefit from that. And like it was mentioned earlier, the coal dust that comes onto your land, that doesn't sound good to me.
It's about the gravel, though.
Okay, gravel dust. So... Make sure you wash off your carrots.
Thanks. All right. Our current legislators have brought home no transportation money during the last session. With 40% of our population being commuters, and many of our roads considered dangerous, what is your proposal, and how would you work to obtain money for our road infrastructure needs?
All right. I'll say my name for the radio. David Wilson. I disagree a little bit with Larry there. I feel that, you know, having relationships with your legislators is a good idea, but I believe that the people should have those relationships with the legislators to encourage them, to let them know, and to be the voice. I mean, they are there in office to represent you, and if it takes, if elected, if I'm mayor, I will go out and help educate and help people with grassroots movements to how to reach the legislators, how to access them. I'm currently involved with that now, more on a healthcare level of around the state, and I'll be happy to share my expertise and how to work with our state legislators and letting them know the needs of the community members around. It's disappointing that 40% of our workers do commute outside of the valley and outside of the outside of the Mat-Su barrel. And I would like to find ways to try to bring some of that work back into the valley, understanding that, you know, we can't bring everything back to the valley. Some things are just has to be done in Anchorage. It's just the cost of doing business. But I would like to find out ways that we can try to re-stimulate some of that money back into our economy, or try to find different work so people don't have to do that.
Okay, great. Pass that down to Ken down at the other end. This is his last question, and all of you might want to be thinking about which of these questions you want to answer that you didn't get a chance to answer. This is how many borough meetings have you attended? What is the, well, I don't know, we already got the clue what the total borough budget is. Let me get a different one. The school district budget is the largest for which the borough is responsible. How would you work with the Matsu Borough School Board to best serve the children of the Matsu Valley?
Ken Clark. I think there's probably a lot of efficiencies that to be had in the school operations. One of the things is that's mentioned here is outsourcing certain services. I don't know if that would be economical or not. However, I think it should be taken, take a long, hard look at it. The other thing is you need to work with the school board. You need to work with the assembly and all parties at the same time and get any kind of efficiency we can to reduce the operational cost, but not reduce the educational plans that we have for the kids. And I have two granddaughters that's in high school, and I see a lot of stuff going on in high school that boggles my mind. I think if everybody got together and sat down and talked about it and said, where can we have more efficiencies, I believe that that can happen. Thank you.
Okay, sounds good. Now, the next part is choosing one of the questions from the list to answer that you wanted to answer. Do you all have one in mind? Do you need a copy of the list? Kurt, do you need a copy? You got one. Okay. So what I'm going to do, since Jeff seems to know already what question he wants to answer, I'm going to start with him, and I'm going to move down that way and end with David, okay? So Jeff needs the microphone, and he's going to answer whichever question he chooses to answer.
Hello, everybody. Jeff Ward, one more time for the radio. So I wanted to touch on the school board budget a little bit. One way to reduce that is implementing a stricter boundary guideline. Because I know my younger brother, he went to Wasilla High School, and we live maybe 1 mile from Wasilla High School, but yet he had the opportunity to go to Colony or Houston. I didn't think that was too smart an idea. I mean, you get on the bus and you go all the way to Houston, and you're busing people that are only 1 mile from the high school, that's costing the city and the borough thousands of dollars in fuel costs, bus driver costs. Not only that, but putting the children at risk, being on the roads during hazardous conditions for many more miles than what is needed. Also, I know Kinnick Goose Bay, they're in dire need of more education down that road. As we're developing as a community, I know right now we have one elementary school down Kinnick Goose Bay Road, but there's no junior highs or high schools for all those people that live in that area. So I think if we build, people will come, and that'll just save a lot from just transporting costs on the school district. I'm not sure what the budget is on transportation, but I'm sure that's a big chunk.
Okay, thanks. Kurt is next. He wants to try that economic development one again, I think. We can skip and move, come back if you want. Okay.
Hi, this is Brian Sullivan. So I'll take number four. What are your views on recreation development and dedication of new parks? I'm a big fan of public outdoor spaces. I would include actually indoor spaces. My children are all swimmers. They utilize the Wasilla and the Palmer pools, I want to say daily, but almost daily. But those pools are full of families doing swimming lessons, really enjoying life in the valley. I would be a strong advocate for things like another pool of a Olympic type size. I would be an advocate for resuming skiing, regular downhill type skiing up at Hatcher Pass. I think government can get a lot of those programs going. Ideally, you have private organizations, nonprofits that take them over, or ideally corporations that do it. But some of those things need to be nudged along. I think the Valley is in great need of some type of an indoor sports facility where we can play a football game on a Friday night. I would love to see, Wasilla and Colony and Palmer and play in the Anchorage schools inside. And the question is, how do we resource that and how do we do it? But I'd like to look at that and have that as a goal.
Thanks. Now, I obviously was not clear. So choose your question from either side of the page. Okay? It's okay.
Changing the rules, Pat.
Well, I'm changing the rules because apparently I did not communicate clearly.
That's all right. Well, I'd like to take question 11.
Your name, please.
Oh, Larry DeVilbus. Thanks, Sarah. As mayor, what is your vision of how to deal with the continued population growth of the borough and its impact on the community, and how will you interact with the assembly regarding your vision? I think whoever asked that question might have a bigger vision for what a ceremonial mayor can do, but I do have a vision, and I see for this valley, and what I would like to see is less of a valley that is a bedroom community and more of a valley that has an economy that will stand when the oil dries up and some of the other things we see coming down the pipe or not coming down the pipe. And that can only happen by building a business base that provides jobs. There's a lot of opportunities in this borough, and it's only by developing our natural resources responsibly and providing the job base that we can accommodate population growth. I think a lot of people erroneously see people as a problem when it comes to this valley. I see people as our most important resource, but if we don't give them an economy that's balanced in a free market system, we're not going to have an economy that can stand on its own feet, and that's where I'd like to go.
Thank you. Someone else ready? John, or I guess Chris ready, so we'll go with him.
I'll take number 10. Currently, the school district must return 50% of their funds at the end of the fiscal year.
Make sure you say your name.
Kurt Jarmer. Yeah. Anyway, I would like to see the school district keep that. And the reason why is if they are required to return the 50%, that's panic spending. They'll spend it on anything they need, and it may not even be what they need. So if you leave them, if it stays there, they can spend it at their leisure, and it would be money saved because that way you won't have to redo the whole thing all over again at the next fiscal year and reallocate money, and then they'll panic buy, and then you spend more money than what you have. It's overspending. So I feel that, just let them keep it, and I feel that they would spend less money and spend it wisely.
Thank you. Who else is ready?
John Liner, I'm choosing number 7. How many borough meetings have you attended? What is the total borough budget? what is the total amount of the school budget? I've attended so many borough meetings in the last 4 years, you wouldn't believe it. Not only that I've attended, but I've become infamous, and I've also attended a lot of City of Palmer meetings. I'm choosing this because I've noticed that I'm the only candidate here that has hard copies. Only candidate that has hard copies of the 2009 and now the 2011 approved borough budgets, and there's a reason for that. I'm not a one candidate issue, and when I became involved in one issue that was affecting me, I was at the borough meetings. I became interested in a lot of other issues and how to help people on those, and I actually bought these from the borough, and you can get them free on the internet, but that's these. I can look at them and study them, and so this, what I'm trying to say is I am interested, and I know what's going on, and how many other candidates here have taken the interest in the last few years to actually buy these books from these budgets from the borough and go through them. So the answer to the question is for the borough's total fiscal year 2011 budget is $368 million, $168,163,839, and the total operating budget for education is $256,911,556. So I answered the question.
Thank you. Ken, are you ready?
Okay, this is Ken Clark. I'd like to talk a little bit about my vision for number four about transportation monies. Pardon me. Last night I noticed on the news that the state of Alaska has got a big, big war chest, so to speak, because of the higher oil prices. And I think if we go down there to Juneau and start beating on some heads, if you will, turn some of that money loose, get it into the valley here. We've got, 90,000 people that really could use some better roads. And so my thing would be to try and get Juneau to cut loose of some money and or federal as well.
Okay, great. David, we need David's.
Hi, this is David Wilson. I will answer number 10, the question about the currently the school district must return 50% of any funds remaining by the end of the fiscal year. I feel that it does encourage wasteful spending. I've done a lot with grant writing and grant management, and normally at the end of the year, it's this, let's spend down, you know, use or lose. And, we always don't make the best decisions when we're under the gun like that to spend those remaining funds. I would like to implement for capital expenditures, which do take a couple years of fundraising and building up a place where maybe the school board and the assembly can get together and agree on some of large capital expenses that those funds could be used for that rainy day for the expenditures.
Okay. Thank you. Now, I have some questions from the audience here. A couple of them are to specific people. I will start with those, and then I'm just going to go through my little stack here and just pick on you. First one's for Jeff. If you don't support responsible resource development projects like mining, then how can you say we don't need a sales tax? Because as long as we attract business, what business would you attract?
Some of that promotes healthy lifestyles, for sure. Medical industry, the technological industry, the pharmaceutical industry are three industries that I would promote for healthy lifestyles in the valley. And the reason, what was the first part of the question again? Can you read it one more time?
The first part, which I've already put down. if you don't support responsible resource development projects like mining, how can you say we won't need a sales tax as long as we attract business? And what business? So that was...
Yeah, I don't see the coal industry paying taxes for us, so I don't see where the question. I was kind of confusing the question. Is the coal industry going to pick up the sales tax for the Mansu borough?
I think
is that what I think they're implying?
The questioner is asking. There's mining is one way to generate income for the borough. And you're saying you don't support a sales tax because you want to attract business. And this person is saying, what kinds of, what businesses would you want to attract? Can you answer that, right? Okay, good. This one's for Larry. You did not mention commuter rail as a help for transportation concerns. Do you support or oppose commuter rail?
Well, I was on the assembly when this first came up, and I'll say, generally speaking, I'm opposed to publicly owned transport, and that's probably the only way it would happen. We were discussing at that time a loop that would go from Anchorage through here and out to the port, assuming a bridge or something. I think when that loop is completed, if it makes economic sense, the private sector will probably do it. But I don't think that I would advocate for putting my tax dollars there.
Okay. This is for John. It's not, I'm picking on John. What will you do to provide leadership to protect the farmland in our community?
I'm going to go the opposite, John Liner. Okay, I've been farming here all my life, actually, basically. I know about the Farm Trust, and I know that the borough approved money, but actually I'm against that, believe it or not. The main thing and the most important thing to protect the farmland in the valley is to give the farmers their tax deferment and to keep that as low, and that allows them to farm the land, and they don't get any deferment on any of their buildings or anything, but it's just the land, and a lot of people get that confused. And the other thing, and I've always felt this, is that the borough should be opening up more lands for farming. They're locking it up, and I've been to the meetings where they just refuse to open up land for farming. You know, there's a lot of borough land here that's good for farming, and I know of one person who did buy some land just recently from the borough for farming up in Trapper Creek, and so that's what we need actually more, is to expand the acreage.
Okay, thank you. For David. Port development is really important for Valley economic development, but how do we encourage development without losing the oversight necessary to protect the borough from corruption and pollution?
Well, port development is important for the Valley to help increase some of the revenue diversification that the borough does need. The corruption piece, we're all a little bit infallible, but trying to go about the corruption is just a difficult thing to overcome. Once it's there, it's just hard to remove. I feel that I'm a pretty honest and open person, and I always feel that I run my, my employees is always come to me open and honestly, and I'll answer them open and honestly the best of my abilities and best of my nature. And I don't hide anything from my employees, same way that as mayor I won't go out and hide, but it isn't, I don't want to say sort of a figurehead of the Mat-Su, but as representing of being the representative of the Mat-Su Borough, that type of communication and open door policies and just transparency through the residents is a very important issue to me. The pollution aspect is just, you know, we just need to make sure that we have those measures in place to try to limit as best as possible. I mean, accidents do occur, but having a good plan in place, with my experience with emergency management and planning, I feel that I can offer some guidance on how best to go about to have those policies and procedures in place for companies developing the port, for spill response. I've done a lot of work with Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation on spill response and planning with other communities through Alaska, so my experience there will be helpful and beneficial to the Mat-Su Borough.
Sounds good. Okay, this is for Kurt. What purpose do you believe boards and commissions serve? And what boards and or commissions, if any, would you propose to be disbanded and why?
Boards and commissions. Boards, well, it's a meeting. It's like this meeting. You sit around, you hash out what the problems are. Commissions to be disbanded, if they're not functional and they're not for the people of the valley or for the, you know, the public or the community or wherever they're at, they don't belong there. Same goes for the people that are running it. If they don't do the job, they don't belong there. We are, you know, the boards and we're all, they're stewards of the community. That we represent you, and that's the way it's supposed to be, not us representing ourselves, you know, the borough. I just, some of these questions are hard to answer because I'm new at this game, but I know what the people want. And it's they want to be told the truth and be involved in the meetings. And, I, you know, they have to be involved to understand what's going on. And if you're not, then the boards and all the meetings and all these political rallies don't mean a damn thing. You have to get involved with everything. And it all intermingles. And without it, you don't have anything. It's just total chaos.
Okay, thanks. This is for Brian. What is your position on a sewer treatment facility, and how would you fund such a facility?
Yeah, a sewer treatment facility, currently it's municipal issues. I know the borough is looking at that. Again, this is Brian Sullivan for the Internet. It's very costly. I think it's in this time when we're looking at building infrastructure, we're looking at fixing dangerous roads, we're looking at all the projects that are out there, you know, basically looking at that, it's an incredibly expensive prospect. I think obviously there are some businesses who maybe be emptying our septic tanks. They are currently going to Anchorage to have to empty those tanks. And I think that's frustrating to them, and I think it may become an increasing cost for all of us who have those tanks. But I think right now it's a city issue, which I think the borough should probably be very careful about wading into. In 50 or 100 years, do I think the borough will be involved in that? I think probably long-term, the answer is probably yes. But I think we need to start long-term planning for it. But in the near term, during what would be a potential term for me, I would not want to jump headlong into that.
Okay. Thanks. Ken, what do you propose to do in addressing the increasing rate of homelessness in the valley, and specifically the alarming number of homeless children and teens?
Ken Clark. The homeless, that's a hard question to answer on. So I think we don't have a big homeless problem right at this time. However,
No audience participation at this point.
But and the reason I say that is I keep reading all this stuff about Anchorage and what have you. Anchorage has a horrible problem as far as I'm concerned. The homeless situation needs to be addressed by the borough, by the cities, Wasilla, Palmer, Houston, if you will, and somehow take care of those folks. And I don't know if it means building buildings to take care of them or getting something like Brother Francis to come in and take care of them. There's a whole gamut of things that needs to be addressed on the homeless thing. And I can't give you a good answer right now, but I think we definitely look at it.
So this is where we are. We are at about 10 minutes to noon. And my suggestion is that at this point, we let everyone have a little. We thought we'd have a minute at the end, but I think we'll let everyone have about a 2 to 3 minute concluding comment, and you can address any of the issues that have come up that you wanted to address or that you wanted to add on to, and then we will. We have to. I realize we have till 1 o'clock. Do you want to keep going? You're the ones that are under the... You want to keep going? I can ask more questions. I got lots. Okay, so I'm trying to think of a way that we can sort of mix this up a little bit. So why don't we do that? Why don't we let then... Yeah, let's stretch. That's a good idea. Everybody stretch for 5, and we'll be back, and we'll... I'll think of a way to keep going. I'm going to... Okay, here we are. We're going to start. So this is the way we're going to proceed, is that I will continue to ask the question of an individual, and if one is directed to an individual, that's fine. But if there's another member, another candidate who would like to respond to that question as well, that person can volunteer to respond. We're going to try to keep it balanced, however. It's really important that everybody gets sort of an equal opportunity to speak. So, we're ready. And Kurt would like to respond to the one about the homeless. And here's the...
And I'll remember my name, Kurt Jarmer. We do have a pressing homeless problem in this valley, including seniors. Working with the Christmas Friendship Dinner, I find out things that people normally in the community don't find out. We have 175 people, to my knowledge, that are homeless. I mean, they wander from bed to bed, friend to friend, family to family, just someplace to sleep. And these are seniors, not kids. And that's wrong, because they set the pace for us, and we should be taking care of them a little bit better. Even though I'm 58 years old, and I don't consider myself anywhere close to being a senior. But I work with seniors all day long. It doesn't, you know, and... They deserve a little bit more respect than what they're getting. The kids, the teens that are running around, families that are breaking up. There are some members of the community that are stepping up to the plate. There's a soup kitchen that's going to be out towards Meadow Lakes, and it's totally free. Anybody can go in there and get food. But housing is the main problem, and we need the borough to step up to the plate and start allocating some monies or land or whatever. Instead of building a prison to house prisoners, you know, maybe building a home to clothe some people. You know, that's the way I feel about it. That prison I thought was a waste of money, but it could have been used somewhere else. I mean, not that we don't need a proper place to put people, but then they're arresting people for things that they should be just smacking them on the fingers for. I mean, they just want the money. And that's not what this is all about. I'm about people, not about money. I mean, the money's got to be taken care of, but the homeless is a major thing in this valley. I've picked up more people running fire rescue, you know, half frozen. I mean, if you ever picked up a frozen body, you'll never ever forget it in your life. Or, you know, I'm not even going to get down to that. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. But the community and the borough needs to step up to the plate and the state
to help manage these problems, and if more jobs would help. And that's where we need to focus. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. All right, so here's a question for Jeff. What role do you see the Borough Animal Shelter care and control playing in the future, and how should it be funded?
Animal control shelter?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Animal care and control and this shelter.
I know there's a farm that's locally in Palmer that takes some kind of hounds. But the animal control, it's a problem that needs to be addressed too, not only with the transportation and the school and the homeless problem, but our pets are a part of our life too, and we got to make sure that they're taken care of when people pass away or move away, or and their pets get left behind. We need to do something about that aspect in the community too. I see a shelter being built like that, more on the lines of like Anchorage shelter. I could see that coming into the valley. I'm not sure where it would be placed at, but somewhere in between here and Palmer, or Palmer and Wasilla, for those animals that need.
Okay. Anyone else want that question?
It's David Wilson. Pet pop, you know, I grew up watching The Price is Right, so everyone knows where I'm going with this. Bob Barker, you know, let's help control the pet population. Have your pet spayed or neutered. When we had a stray animal come onto our property, you know, we stopped the car, got out. We didn't know if it was a friendly animal or a dangerous animal. It was on a weekend evening. I've looked in the phone book, didn't know if it was a borough responsibility or the city responsibility, and I was just at loss because there's two. I live out in Wasilla, and so, you know, I didn't know if I should call Houston or Wasilla. I couldn't get a straight answer from either one of them, and I just feel that we need a little bit better adequate response. Luckily, it was a friendly animal. I was able to find the owner through Craigslist, and so it worked out on all ends. But if it wasn't, you know, not knowing or not having someone to respond to that animal, if it was a dangerous animal, you know, having other family members or at risk of having an animal like that on property, I just feel that we do need a little bit better response with some animal control within the borough.
Okay, I'm going to give this to Ken. If you had your way, what forms of energy would be providing electricity and heat 20 years from now in the valley?
Ken Clark. Well, I would. It appears to me that there's some studies going on right now to build some dams up north for hydro projects. I think that's very cheap power. It's long lasting. You know, it has a 50-year lifespan, as I understand it. The other thing is possibly having a gas generating plant, if you will. Or even coal. I don't know if coal would be feasible or economical. But I think the hydro projects, looking forward, would be the way to go.
Anyone else would like to?
I have Jeff Ward. I'd like to comment on the energy sources. 50 years from now, being a little bit younger than most people here today, our age is pushing towards renewable energy. Renewable energy is something that I want to implement in the valley too. We have a lot of wind storms. We get a lot of wind. I don't know why we don't have wind turbines, more of them out here. I know they can't operate if the winds get over a certain amount of speed, but during the shutdown times, we'd
put alternators and maybe even go to solar power. And we could get a lot of solar energy during the summer hours because those days are so long. I mean, we could store that energy for winter months when our wind turbines aren't blowing. And so all the solar power that we get from the summer would power the city, and then in the winter, the wind turbines would power the city when we don't have as much sunlight and the clouds are covering. And then all that stored power would be used while those systems were down. And I think that would bring lower costs to everybody. I mean, initially it would cost a little bit more to get it started, but in the long run, we'd be paying less for utilities than we do now.
Okay. Another question? Sure. Go ahead.
That is the rules.
It's fine. We were just going to let one person, but now that you've broken the rules, we'll let you do it.
Well, I didn't realize the rules had changed back. But
rules keep changing, but that's okay with me.
I see a lot of... my name is Larry DeVilbus. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah, for being our name girl.
We are really on the cusp of entering into a balanced energy situation that I think could be a long-term answer. It's very true that we have a lot of wind potential here, but because wind is intermittent, you've got to back it up with something. And when you're providing those spinning reserves, and we're looking at the MEA board at a contract with SERI for the Fire Island wind right now, and I'm totally supportive of that. But the problem with that is that you have to provide spinning reserves for every kilowatt of that power. And if you're using fossil fuel to do that, you're not saving anything, because it's burning whether the wind's blowing or not. Because the wind, the way it fluctuates, you have to back it up. Hydro is the perfect instrument or source for backing up wind power. And I've always supported the Susitna Hydro. Back when I was on the assembly, I would raise the subject and nearly be laughed out of the room. But and one of the only people that would really support me on that was Don Young. It was in a joint meeting that we had with him that he really jumped on board. Right now we've got the bylaws together to form a GNT with all the other rail belt utilities. The governor has endorsed the Susitna Dam. And I think as a borough, we need to do everything we can to see that happen. That's going to be a big project in our area that will bring a lot of jobs and down the road a lot of energy that we're going to need to support business and jobs in this borough.
Thank you. Did somebody else want to? Go ahead. Sure. This is an important one, so I'm glad a lot of people are weighing in on
this. Hey, my name's Kurt Jarmer. Thank you. Hey, I'm a tinker. I love that question. I build these little generators out of, the old-style generators out of cars and trucks. I used to take them hunting with me and make up a little water wheel, so when I was out there, I used to get electricity for my tent. Everybody used to envy me because I had electricity. But anyway... Wind generation, you spend more money than that really doesn't pay for itself. But I mean, it's great to have. They got another alternative where they do sink tube. They sink casing down in the ground. And you pump heat down in the summertime. In the wintertime, you pump it out. It's stored underground, and it's a like a little field, like a drain field. But they sink them down in the ground. I forgot what the name of it was. I was looking at it not too long ago. But solar panels over in Europe. They have solar panels all over their houses. Their roofs are covered with solar panels. And, I got family over there, and they wonder why people in the United States aren't doing the same thing. They're paying all these big electric bills. But solar panels, I would like to see solar panels on everybody's house, and affordable solar panels with battery backup. That's the cheapest way out. You explore cold fusion. The Swedes, they take helicopters and put little turbines up on the side of a mountain, up on a waterfall. It's low cost, but and high output. I mean, they get more for their money. More power. They spend less money for more power. And those little hydro, things they put on the side of those mountains, they put in there with helicopters. And we have some of the fastest moving water in the world. The second, I think we are, next to Japan. And we can put turbines in the water, and not spend all that money on a dam. Dams are pro, whatever. But I'd rather see a bunch of little small ones around places than one great big dam serving everybody. And what works in one place in Alaska might not work somewhere else. So you're going to have to go to each little community and figure out what works for them. I mean, it's not an easy task to solve. But I'd love to see solar panels on everybody's house.
Brian Sullivan, just a quick comment on this. I think power is very important to us as Alaskans. Somebody told me last week that we use three times as much energy as people in the lower 48. And so as we look forward and we look at the declines in the revenue and the oil coming down the pipeline, the next 50 years are very important. Will my kids and their grandkids and their grandkids have enough power to function here? And that's a big question. I think a mayor should be involved in those discussions with the assembly. Just to relate a couple of experiences, I was in Cuba. We had giant windmills. And when you have wind power, you have a whole bunch of issues you don't think about. They were chopping up the local birds. They're very attractive to birds. Birds are attracted by the movement, and they fly into them. So the local bird population was decimated by the giant windmills chopping up the birds. And then you had lightning strikes. These things are hundreds of feet in the air, and then a lightning strikes, and then you have a $6 million mechanism damaged. And so the economic viability of wind sometimes can be, you have a whole bunch of other considerations that people don't think about when they're thinking, hey, maybe this is a good idea. But just those discussions, I look forward to hearing about that and working on it. Last topic, the Upper Susitna Dam. Luckily, it's far enough upstream that the salmon runs would not be impacted. I'm a fisherman. I enjoy that. We have to look out for that resource. But that particular plan seems to work with saving the salmon. So I'm very supportive of that. I'm looking forward to working with MEA or the governor or whoever if I'm fortunate enough to be elected.
Use the mic. Thanks, Mike. Who hasn't talked lately? Who wants to talk? Who hasn't? John, you want a question? Okay, here's a question. As mayor, you will be in a position to lobby both state and federal delegations. In that position, how would you support a sewage treatment facility for the borough? Or not, I guess.
Apparently, whoever asked that question doesn't know that. John Liner. It's been in the works with the borough for a multi-use Wasilla and Palmer, $120 million it's a little bit over $100 million. And I see that they took the pictures off at the borough. They've had them up there for about a year, the big plan. And there's two areas at the Parks Glen intersection. And the other one was on borough land, just southwest of the city of Palmer, right on the river there, on borough land. And apparently, I guess they've decided it's all like suddenly off the table. I know what happened with the one site by the Palmer area was they'll never be able to put it there now because the gravel company went there and they were dredging into the water table there and they took bulldozers and went right to the edge of the river there right next to the borough land. this has been a, like I said, I've been at the borough. This has been on the, this issue has been there for a long time. The city of Palmer just got some big grants to improve theirs, and maybe that's why there isn't this big push. They've gotten millions and millions of dollars of federal grants. I know that the city of Wasilla's had problems, and they built a big one in. So I guess as a borough mayor, right now I'd have to look what's happened to this project. Why does it seem to be off the table? And is it because the state hasn't been interested, or and so you just have to contact them? And in other words, I am knowledgeable on the subject and what's been going on and why it's a concern and why it's been stalled. And I'm aware of the costs and the problems. And at the Parks Glen intersection, they ran running into problems there because that's it's a big salmon run area.
Okay. Anyone else want that
Thank
one?
You.
Nope. Okay. So I don't think we've heard from Ken lately, have we? What is your definition of full funding regarding for education regarding the school district?
Ken Clark, full funding for education. I'm not quite sure what that would mean, if that's state funding or a combination of state, local, federal, whatever it is. Full funding.
Let me explain.
Yeah.
Just briefly. Full funding would mean what's the there's a maximum that the borough can use to support the school district. And full funding would be that entire amount.
The entire amount of the school budget?
The entire amount that the borough support.
Well, I think that would be a good idea. I would have to think on that some more because I'm not really familiar with full funding, if you will.
Okay. Brian?
A lot of these issues, Brian Sullivan, a lot of these issues are very complicated. The borough provides about 30%, roughly, of the school district budget. I think my definition of full funding, I guess to liken it to Anchorage, Anchorage contributes as much as they can to the support of their school district. I think that's a good direction. I think what we need to look at is with Mr. Burnley and the efficiencies he's seeking. I commend him on the things he's trying to do there. And we're looking at combining borough functions and departments and maintenance to help achieve efficiencies. But really, the borough has to demand that those tax monies are spent appropriately. And you know, my goal, when you get down to the classroom level, we have classrooms where there are 30 plus kids per teacher, you know, and that's unacceptable because the classrooms are just, you can't manage that scenario. So you know, my personal view and position is I support full funding. I think the reason that I moved to the Valley was because I did an internet search and I checked out the schools, and so I bought right where the schools were great. And so I'm a supporter of full funding. Of course, I'm married to a teacher, so I'm a little biased. So,
anyone else about the full funding question? Okay, here's one for Larry. Do you support campaign finance reform to keep undue corporate interest from local elections?
I would like to see campaigns where you didn't have to spend any money, but you know, and I did that for many years. There's nothing to stop me from doing that, but if you want to get elected, unfortunately you can't do it anymore because of the money that is put into campaigns. I think as long as people are identified so the voters know where the money's coming from, I don't have a problem with money going into campaigns. That's part of free speech. It's been ruled on by the Supreme Court. One problem that I have is PACs being able to, in an unidentified manner, pump money into campaigns without any limit at all. That doesn't serve the voter in my judgment, because you don't know where that money's coming from. I don't think we should limit where money comes from, but it should be an open piece of information.
Thank you. Anyone else want to tackle that one?
I'm not against contributions. It's campaign contributions. Is what I am against is campaign contributions that are given, and then they want favors, and that's not what it was about. I mean, if they're going to donate money to a campaign, that's what it is. It's a donation and it's a tax write-off, and it's not, you know, right? Oh, it's not a tax write-off. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm corrected. But you know, then some people come back and say, hey, you know, now I need a favor, and that's, you know, that's wrong. And that goes on quite a bit sometimes.
I didn't use my 3 minutes. But I've got donation cards here if anybody wants to donate.
But it's not tax deductible. That's okay. That would even be more interesting. Okay, I'm going to ask David this one. Would you welcome teacher union support for your run as mayor? Sort of following on the corporate thing, sort of, on corporate?
You know, this is my first horse in this rodeo. My name is David Wilson, sorry. And I am a little biased. I come from a long line of teachers in my family, and my mother-in-law, father-in-law, they're both retired educators. And you know, it's a tough question. The whole unions. I heard you say yes, and yes, you know, yes to an extent. I feel that certain service unions are a great do provide a great benefit to their members and to their services that and to whom they represent, but within moderation as well. And my personal belief, you know, some unions sometimes get out of control. GM is a prime example of that. But I do believe that service unions, such as police, fire, education, do serve a great benefit to our community, as long as they are, you know, as long as we can work together as assembly as to for common goals and issues. And I did want to answer, for large corporations as well, that you know, as long as they're understanding that, you know, we're not a backdoor favorite pocket. You know, we do represent the interests of the people. We do like to be open and honest and with transparency. I don't have the big deep pockets to spend on my campaign, and nor should that inhibit my ability to try to go out and fundraise as well, and try to go out and seek individual contributions and other, but I personally would never go out and personally seek a large contribution from a corporation, but if they feel free to donate, I'm, you know, welcome to that as well.
Okay, anyone else for that one?
I'm all about education and schooling, so I would definitely. Oh, my name is Jeff Ward, Republican Party. I would definitely have the School of Education back me in my campaigns for sure.
Okay, Brian, this is for you. The Borough Commission on Economic Development study involved over 100 citizen participants. Have you read the report, and if so, how would you support the recommendations?
But Brian Sullivan, thank you. The report is about 105 pages. It was done by a consulting company. I've read it. My view is it provides probably 80% of the information that's freely available on the internet about kind of the economics of the state and locality. What I like about it is its focus on the port. I look at our infrastructure, I look at where we're going, and I see the port as in working with other businesses as the economic driver in the future for the borough. So I like that as a focus. I was talking to one of the assembly members, I think it was Assemblymember Woods, and I said, well, you voted, I was there when it passed. I was interested in the discussion, and I said, what has happened, and this was like several weeks ago, what has happened as far as the goals or the strategies or the actions since you voted several months ago to pass it? And I think she struggled a little bit to say anything that had happened. Something that I would do as mayor is maybe have a little shorter, more succinct document, and maybe have it as an agenda item that the people who are listed as the people who are supposed to do the actions, well, where is this at? And that's sort of a military management thing where they have PowerPoints and lists and you sort of check up on things. But I think this has passed, but not a lot has happened. I think many of the drivers are and the focuses are good, but there again, I think there's some work there.
Anyone else for that one? Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and say you have your last 3 minutes now to kind of sum up, to answer something that wasn't asked. I think it's been obvious today that this is not an easy job in an easy place at this point in time. There's lots to know, and probably a lot that many of us maybe don't know. So I really do, again, appreciate what you have to say. And so you have 3 minutes, and I think we're going to start with Jeff this time, and David, and then back and end with Kurt.
Well, just to conclude, my name is Jeff Ward, a Republican. I live in Wasilla, 24. I'm a sociology major at UAA. My main goal, if elected as mayor of the Matsu Valley or borough, would be to promote an economically driven society through collective action in the community. I definitely want to implement more jobs into our community to bring our resources back into our community instead of exploiting them out into others. For the railway, and I'm for the port, definitely need to tackle some transportation issues in the valley and tackle some elderly issues of elderlies not having warm meals three times a day. I know a lot of the elderlies only maybe get one meal a day due to rent and Social Security and things like that that just make it unfeasible for them to get the proper meals that they need. I want to thank the Democratic Party for inviting me here today, and it's nice to see all the faces, and just want to thank everybody for hearing me out today. Thank you. One more thing. I'd appreciate your vote January 11th.
Hello, my name is David Wilson. You know, this, like I said, this is my first rodeo, and I am new at this. You know, there are a lot of issues out there, and I'm not going to pretend that I know them all or that I understand them all, but I am willing to give it my best shot at this. I am always open. You guys have our numbers and my email address listed. Please feel free to call, question, to talk, any issues that you may have. I'm here to listen. I am a concerned citizen. I would like to be a little bit more involved in my community and like to be a little bit more involved just within the realm of seeing what I can do to help out and to be a little bit more of a productive citizen here in the Matsu Borough. I just want to say thank you all for coming out and listening to some of our ideas, and thank all the candidates for also coming out to hear some of their platforms, to see where they're coming from and their ideas and viewpoint. You know, there's a lot to choose from here, and I just hope that I can offer my qualities and services that you feel that are valued as a community resident. Some of the issues that I, personally see is, there is a homeless issue here in the valley. It's not maybe as large as it is in Anchorage, but it's still an issue. Where my realm and expertise come from, there is a large concern for health care for senior populations. I am glad to see that the Valley is opening up a Medicare-only clinic. I'm not sure on the status of it. I believe it should have opened. It is open, yes. I knew they were trying for mid-November and just haven't followed up with that. But I am glad to see that that is very important as a health care professional. And like I said, you know, there's a lot of issues from economic growth and development to mining or for power sustainability, and it's just a lot for any one person to just know off the top without a lot of background research and investigation. So, like I said, feel free to call, email, write a letter. You know, I know that's an outgoing thing for the U.S. Postal Service, but like I said, feel free. I love to talk with anyone that would like to talk to me, or I'm open to, you know, just respect the hours, because, you know, my do have a wife at home, and she needs her sleep to get ready to provide attainable services to the residents. And thank you again for everyone for coming out, and do get out and vote, because it does make a difference.
Ken Clark, I guess this is my summary, but I have one word, and that would be more money from the state, more money from the feds, more money, period, that the taxpayers from the Mat-Su Borough doesn't have to put out. The other thing is I'd like to see more revenue coming in from the enterprises, that activities we got going on, such as the port. Now we have we bought a ferry that's supposed to be going back and forth across the water. However, we don't have any place to land it over in Anchorage, so I don't know if that ferry is making a whole lot of money right at this present time, but we need to be looking at those things. We need to be putting that together, and you know, we're just losing a lot of things. And I guess everything that was that I heard here today, from what I see, is just the tip of the iceberg of all the problems that's in the Mat-Su Borough. And with that, I'll get off the air, and thank for inviting me, and when you're in the ballot box, I hope you remember my name. Thank you.
I know. I just... My name is John Liner. I really don't want to do it this way, but I guess I have to. This is trouble when you become a political activist. You start finding out things, and people start trusting you and tell you stuff that maybe you shouldn't have known, or they never should have told you. But I'm going to go with our first Tim Anderson. Anybody remember him? All the big stories and how suddenly they went quiet. Well, I just found out a few months ago from somebody that why everything went quiet. I'm not going to say why, but we deserved better than that. I know Mayor Menard. I have the first two gold fillings that he ever put after he had his operation. And when he ran for mayor, that was fine, and I know he's serving the people and trying, but and I know he got cancer. But I was at a meeting, and one of the first things he said was, I don't believe that these meetings are going to midnight. Like, well, boy, when I was here before, they were short. In other words, he was already complaining that he didn't want to stay here this long. And like, and I'm thinking, I've been to these for years, and of course they're this long. I mean, the valley has changed; it's grown, and this is a hard thing to say, but when he started getting really sick, he wasn't functioning right, and it was his duty to resign, but he wouldn't. And he was gone for months and months, and then when he did come back. So it's just a hard thing to say, but it was his duty that he was actually breaking the trust of the voter, and he should have resigned.
this is another hard thing to say, but Mayor Kohlberg, I was in a bookstore. He didn't know who I was, and he was talking. This is when he came back from Juneau after he quit being an attorney general, and he was talking to a friend, didn't know who I was, and he was deciding if he should run for mayor or not, and I guess it's just fate, and I'm listening to it, and I'm going to run out of time. And he was running not to serve the people, believe me. It was just something to do, something to fill time, and he proved me right by resigning. And when Mayor Menard died, there was a special election. 7 people ran. I was one of them. A lot of them promised that they would be back again to run against Mayor Kohlberg after he won. Nobody did in 2009 except me. I was the only one. And I did get 2,000-something votes, and I appreciated them all, and that was without any campaigning. And what I'm trying to say is I know the trust of the voter. I know the sacrifice that I'm going to have to make to do this job, and I'm willing to sacrifice and do it and not break the trust of the voters. Thank you very much.
My name is Larry DeVilbiss. And it's been suggested today that we need more youthful leadership in the borough. I can't argue about that or compromise that in any way, but I'm not going to apologize for any gray hair I have. I earned every one of them. And I think the borough administration and the borough assembly need the experience that I've had. I was at the meeting 2 weeks ago when they were asking questions about the formation and beginning of gas LIDs. I could have answered those questions if I'd have been sitting up there. Nobody on the assembly, nobody in the administration there could answer their questions. So I think we need leadership that has that's been plugged in for a while. There's a record there, and the myriad of questions that weren't asked today would be known because I have a record behind me. Some of it is records that not all of you agree with, but you know me and know what I stand for, and you also know that I'm ethical. I'm not in anybody's pocket. I look around here, and I believe that my successful business background in this valley qualifies me also. I think a borough mayor that understands business and understands what gets in the way of successful businesses is important in the leadership and future of this borough. I promise that if and when I am elected, I am going to use the technology that's available today to make those borough meetings available interactively. And I think we could very usefully take in more testimony and maybe eliminate the need for some of the staff and boards and commissions that we have already. But there's no need to back up on public participation. I think that is a balancing factor that's necessary and something I won't sacrifice on. I ask for your vote on January 11th. Everybody says it's going to be a low turnout, but I think it's in all our interest to talk it up, whether you're for me or not.
Thank you, Brian Sullivan. I think this election on the 11th of January, it's very important to the Valley, and it may be a low voter turnout election, but when you look at all the issues that were discussed today and the ones that weren't, issues with fish and roads, different issues in the budgeting for the port, and the redistricting that's coming up, I think the choice you have here as far as a direction in the future is pretty clear. I want to commend our current acting mayor, Mr. Arvin, for looking at the efficiencies on boards and commissions. I think what's being addressed here is good government. And something that I want to work on is a more professional, more efficient government. And I think our current assembly and mayor are going to address this in the weeks to come and in the next few meetings. And I think if you care about that, you come in and you express your opinion. There was some discussion about, you know, is the Friends of Mat-Su a good thing or a bad thing? Or, you know, really, it comes down to caring about your community and being active. I personally, you know, if somebody was going to put a coal bed methane drilling station on my house on Acorn Street, I'd be pretty upset. And I'm glad that that issue was headed off and stopped, and I would not want to see that happen to our properties in the future. I think that issue could come back. I think there's a choice to be had in this election on resource development, and where are you down the middle of the road? Are you pro-industry? Or are you, there are choices represented by all of us up here. I hope to be a reasonable voice. I think somebody has said as a motto, the Mat-Su is open for business. I would just add, the Mat-Su is open for business and you. So thank you very much. Have a good day.
I want to thank everybody for inviting me down here. It's been my name's Kurt Jarmer. And thank everybody again for inviting us down here, all of us. And I'm sort of like odd man out. I'm kind of old-fashioned, down-home country boy that wants to see some change. And I'm on the ground all the time talking to people. I've been doing it for a long time. And, I mean, like I'm behind the scenes. You know, I see things that everybody in this, you know, like I said before, doesn't see. I've cried with mothers, and you know, because they've lost their child in a car wreck. I've held a 10-year-old little girl in my arms, and I know the pains that people feel. I've got a pretty diverse background. I've been all the way from Prudhoe to Unalaska. I've been a lot of things. But what I really would like to see is the communication between the borough and the people of this valley. And all these things that we've discussed won't happen if there's no communication, if there's no honesty between the two. I'm a very honorable person. I would like to see that trust come back to the borough. Like I said, I've been fighting with the borough for a long time, and I would like to see all that changed. I mean, I've seen it tear families apart, and I know I can make a difference. And I'd be representing everyone in this room, and I'd be honored to represent everybody in this room and in this valley if they voted for me and then elected me mayor. And I would do the best of my ability. I wouldn't make no promises, but I will say this, I would do everything in my ability to make things happen that people want, not what the big government wants or big industry. And I would like to see us slow down and let things catch up to us, because we need to take a look at what's already happened, assess the problems, correct the problems, and then go forward. Before we go forward and spend more money, we need to stop where we're at right now and figure it out. Thank you very much.
So thanks again for everybody for coming. Again, as a couple people mentioned, you have the information from these candidates. Some things have arisen, and you've had some specific questions that we weren't able to address to the whole group. If you have those questions, make sure you contact the candidates. And certainly make sure you vote on January 11th and bring a few people along with you. And thanks for coming.